I stopped that right in the middle of the song, and the reason was I realized that song is perfect. It goes right along with the teaching from Inner Ramana, and I thought, you know what? I want to play that again on the recording so that we can talk about the song. So I stopped the song, and we're going to listen to it now on the recording. But I'll tell you what I was hearing in the song. As we've been listening to this message from Inner Ramana about, let's see, what's the name of the message? The mind that thinks it's Lord. We've been talking about how clarity is just trusting intuition, trusting what I'm doing now, just being with it. And we've talked about how confusion is when the thinking comes in. So as I was listening to this song, you know what's happening. If you know Jesus Christ Superstar, what's happening, the song is, you know, Mary Magdalene is like kind of soothing Jesus and wiping oil on Jesus and telling Jesus, you know, try not to be worried. And this is exactly what she feels to do in the moment. And Jesus feels to lean back and let her do it, right? And then Judas comes in as the representative of the thinking mind, and you can hear the confusion that steps in. You know, because now he starts judging this. You know, why is she doing this? We could have sold that oil. We could have fed the poor. You know, all of his thinking comes in and the confusion comes in. And then we hear her come back again with the try not to worry and the soothingness and the trusting. This is perfect. What I'm feeling to do now is perfect. Taking this oil and putting on his hair and feet is perfect. And, you know, Jesus, what I feel to do just to sit here and allow her to do it is perfect. And then Judas with the judging again. So let's listen to this song again. This time we can hear the difference between the clarity and the confusion. It really is acted out well. So once again, from Jesus Christ Superstar. Oh wait, did I pick the wrong song that time? Hold on. I can't find my... Oh yeah, I need the next song. Song 6. Here we go, this one. Yeah.
Try not to get worried. Try not to turn on to problems that upset you. Don't you know everything's alright? Yes, everything's fine. And we want you to sleep well tonight. Let the world turn without you tonight. If we try, we'll get by, so forget all about us tonight. Sleep and I shall soothe you, calm you, and anoint you for your hot forehead. Then you'll feel everything's alright. Yes, everything's fine. And it's cool and the ointment's sweet for the fire in your head and feet. Close your eyes and relax. Think of nothing tonight.
Hell, I'm on the fine ointment from you. Why has it been wasted? We could have raised maybe 300 silver pieces or more. People who are hungry, people who are starving, they matter more. And you're me and help.
Try not to get one. We try not to turn on to problems that upset you. Don't you know everything's alright? Yes, everything's alright, yes.
Surely you're not saying we have the resources to save the poor from their lot. There will be poor always pathetically struggling. Look at the good things you've got. While you still have me move, while you still see me, you'll be lost and you'll be sorry.
Then I shall soothe you, come and anoint you, my for your hot forehead. Then you feel everything's alright, yes, everything's fine. And it's cool and the ointment sweet for the fire in your head and feet. Close your eyes, close your eyes, and relax, think of nothing tonight. Close your eyes, close your eyes, and relax.
Yeah, there was a time, you know, when I agreed with Judas. I, you know, even when I read the Bible and I read about, you know, Mary Magdalene coming in with this expensive perfume and you know, putting it on Jesus' hair and Jesus' feet. And Judas was like, you know, what are you doing? You know, that could have been, we could have fed the poor with that. You know, I felt this little stab of judgment in me that came from agreeing with Judas. And I thought, you know, why would Jesus let some woman, you know, pour this expensive perfume on him? You know, it sounds so egotistical, you know, and I really agreed with Judas on that particular point anyway. I'm going to read to you how this story is told in NTI. It's NTI Mark. Let's see, NTI Mark chapter 14 on page 112. Listen to this. Jesus was resting in the evening with the apostles and friends when a woman came to him with an expensive perfume. Out of gratitude for love she had known through him, she gifted Jesus with the perfume by anointing him with it. Some observers were upset and jealous. They protested that the perfume could have been sold and the money could have been given to the poor. Jesus responded to the protesters gently while holding the hand of the woman who anointed him. Her gift is a symbol of her gratitude for love, given to one that is a symbol in her eyes for God's love. She has done nothing wrong. She has extended gratitude in a way that she felt called to extend it. The woman is following the guidance of her heart. Let us thank her for what she has done. She shall live as a symbol unto all of us throughout the ages. Do you hear that? Jesus is saying what she's doing is perfect because it's what she feels to do in the moment. Just like when sometimes Regina is sitting and doing nothing, it is perfect. You know, we get this idea doing nothing is not perfect, especially if you have a long to-do list, especially if the bed needs to be made and dishes need to be put away and your teeth aren't brushed yet. You know, you should be doing stuff. We have an idea that, you know, a teacher allowing someone to put an expensive perfume on their hair or feet, you know, is wasteful and egotistical. You know, the teacher probably should have refused that. It would have been much more humble to refuse that. But Jesus is saying, you don't get it. To be in touch with your intuition and doing exactly what your intuition is asking you to do in the moment without judgment, that's perfection. I mean, listen to these words again. She has done nothing wrong. She has extended gratitude in a way that she felt called to extend it. This woman is following the guidance of her heart. Let us thank her for what she has done. He's not saying, let us thank her for the form of it. He's not saying, let us thank her because she's anointed me. He's simply saying, let us thank her for being clear enough to trust her intuition and follow her intuition without questioning it, without judging it. This woman is following the guidance of her heart. Let us thank her for what she has done. She shall live as a symbol unto all of us throughout the ages. So she is a symbol of us trusting what we are guided to do, right? So that takes us back to the teachings of Inner Ramana. We're continuing the message, the mind that thinks it's Lord. We just read a paragraph in the previous audio that says, watch the mind carefully. And we heard in the example, in the song, an example of that, because again, to some of us, Judas may have sounded righteous. You know, why are you letting her do that? That oil could have been sold and that money could have been given to the poor. I mean, that sounds righteous, right? Watch the mind carefully. Watch that judging, deciding, thinking one knows mind carefully, because that is confusion, even when it sounds righteous. Watch the mind carefully. Notice how it wants to judge my words or judge my methods. Notice how it wants to choose against me, me being just the intuition to sit and do nothing in the moment. Right? Me being the intuition to take this expensive oil and anoint my teacher. Me being the intuition that's telling the teacher to relax and allow this woman to anoint me. Right? Notice how the thinking mind wants to choose against me and decide what is best for itself. That thinking mind is the confusion mechanism. That questioning and doubting feature, which is a core mechanism within the mind, is a separation creation mechanism that keeps you blind to the truth. It's that idea of I know, I can decide, I can judge. That's what makes you feel separate. Without that idea, I know, I can decide, I can judge, you would not have the experience of separation. It's not actually the body that gives you the experience of separation. You can have the experience of this body without that thinking mind, and you will know the flow. You will know the oneness. Now it says, read this paragraph above 5 times also. So I will do that. So once again, whatever you want to do while I read this, if you feel to read along, starting at the bottom of page 79, or if you feel to sit back and relax, eyes open, eyes closed, I'm going to read this 5 times. Watch the mind carefully. Notice how it wants to judge my words or judge my methods. Notice how it wants to choose against me and decide what is best for itself. That is the confusion mechanism. That questioning and doubting feature, which is a core mechanism within the mind, is a separation creation mechanism that keeps you blind to the truth. Watch the mind carefully. Notice how it wants to judge my words or judge my methods. Notice how it wants to choose against me and decide what is best for itself. That is the confusion mechanism. That questioning and doubting feature, which is a core mechanism within the mind, is a separation creation mechanism that keeps you blind to the truth. And Michael, I am live. He's asking, is this live or recording? This is live. Watch the mind carefully. Notice how it wants to judge my words or judge my methods. Notice how it wants to choose against me and decide what is best for itself. That is the confusion mechanism. That questioning and doubting feature, which is a core mechanism within the mind, is a separation creation mechanism that keeps you blind to the truth. Watch the mind carefully. Notice how it wants to judge my words or judge my methods. Notice how it wants to choose against me and decide what is best for itself. That is the confusion mechanism, that questioning and doubting feature, which is a core mechanism within the mind, is a separation creation mechanism that keeps you blind to the truth. And I've lost count. I'm going to read it one more time. This will be either the fifth or sixth time. Watch the mind carefully. Notice how it wants to judge my words or judge my methods. Notice how it wants to choose against me and decide what is best for itself. That is the confusion mechanism. That questioning and doubting feature, which is a core mechanism within the mind, is a separation creation mechanism that keeps you blind to the truth. So again, even when I'm feeling just to sit and do nothing, and then those ideas arise in the mind, oh, but you've got so many other things to do. You see how it's doubting the intuition to do nothing? It's saying something's wrong with the intuition to do nothing. There isn't time to do nothing. That's the confusion mechanism. And we all experience it every day without really noticing it for what it is. And I think that's why we're being asked to read these paragraphs so many times, so that we can start noticing when that confusion mechanism kicks in, right? We say, oh, wait, that's thinking, that's judging, that's I know, that's not what I'm to listen to. That's the confusion mechanism. I'll sit here and do nothing because that's what I really feel to do. I can feel it. Continuing with the message, now you must ask, who is the I that questions and doubts these teachings? Or we could ask, who is the I that questions and doubts intuition? Undoubtedly, you will discover that it is an I that thinks it stands apart from these teachings. Or you would find that it's an I that thinks it stands apart from intuition. That's kind of interesting. You know, if I really have this feeling just to sit and do nothing, and then the mind kicks in telling me I don't have time to do nothing, that thinking feels apart from that intuition. It feels apart from that feeling to do nothing, right? So then ask, who is the I that stands apart? There is no answer to this question. You actually won't get an answer to that. So if I'm sitting here, you know, I'm feeling to do nothing, not meditate, not meditating, which my mind would say, hey, that's my mind would say meditating is productive. Even the mind would say that, you know. And at least you're doing something, you're meditating, but sitting there doing nothing, that's nothing. That's nothing. Well, what is this I that is judging this feeling to do nothing? It must be something that feels separate from the feeling to do nothing, right? Because I feel that feeling to do nothing, and this mind is judging it. Who is apart from this? Who is there that's apart from this feeling to do nothing? And then there's silence. And then there's silence. Because there really is no one apart from this feeling to do nothing. That was just mental chatter. There is no answer to this question because there is no I that stands apart. If the mind should try to answer, me, I'm the one who stands apart, then ask the mind with conviction, who is me? And then it will go silent. There shall be no answer because there is no I that stands apart. It's just mental chatter. There is no self there. When the voice that questions and doubts my teachings or your intuition has been put to rest, you will find the call in your heart that asks you to simply and clearly listen to me, because I am the voice of your heart, and your heart is the truth of what you are. And that's what I've been noticing as I've been sitting. This sitting thing for me has happened since I've returned from India, so it's kind of new. When I first got back from India, some of you may remember I was sick for a couple of weeks, actually. And so I did a lot of sitting, and what I thought at that time was that when the illness went away and I returned to health, I would probably feel to move back into full action like I had been in for the last year. You know, all of 2013, there's been a lot of action going from one thing to another, to another, to another. And so I thought, once the health returns, I'll go back to the action, you know. But then the funny thing that happened was the health returned and the feeling to sit stayed. And then one day we had a single quiet thought within a couple of days of this, of my health returning and the feeling to sit staying. Then we had a single quiet thought, and I can't remember who the single quiet thought, or sorry, the daily, sorry, I'm using the wrong words, the daily quote from Awakening Together. And I can't remember exactly who the quote was by or exactly what the words of the quote were, but the idea was something like, when you put aside everything that the mind is saying, when you put aside everything that you think you have to do, when you put everything aside and there's nothing left, you know, you've gotten rid of everything, put everything aside, then what do you really want to do? What does the heart really want you to do? And I knew immediately when I contemplated that, sitting. And I knew immediately that for some reason right now is my guidance, sitting, not meditating, not contemplating, although I do a little of that too, but there are times during the day when I feel just to sit. Sometimes I may sit for 10 minutes. Sometimes I may sit for an hour. But I know when I am to sit, and I just sit. And I don't know anything about what this is about, except that if I surrender to it and do it, it feels magnificent. I mean, really. It's just like sitting is the best thing in the world. That's how it feels for me now. So that shows how perfect it is for me now. So I know that it's my guidance. It's what my intuition is asking me to do. Right? But if I was to start listening to my mind, it would start coming up, you know, like reginadonacres.com. I haven't done hardly anything on that website since I've been back from India. I used to post a weekly song of the week. I used to go through my old audios and pick out like four or five of the old audios and post them as the audios of the month. And, you know, I used to go through my journal and find some useful old messages. And I haven't done any of that since I've been back from India, because that would take away from my sitting. Right? If I listened to the mind, you would say, but what about this? What about this? People are going to, you know what? Not one person has written to me asking, why aren't you doing those things anymore? But the mind would tell me you cared. Because the mind is the confusion mechanism, right? So we have to learn to know the difference between what is our guidance, which doesn't have to be complicated. Sometimes when people hear the word guidance, they think it must be something earth-shattering, like, you know, writing an interpretation to the New Testament. It's not true. It could be just sit here and do nothing right now. Not thinking, not meditating, nothing. Or it might say, now move from nothing and let's start working on this project. I've also been working on the minister preparation program. I've been writing the Bhagavad Gita course. I did a rewrite of the True Discernment course. Lately, I've been working on the Buddhism course. And when I sit down and do that, I'm so into that. I love nothing more than that. When the time comes to do that. The other day, Danielle was telling me that she didn't feel like wrapping presents. She says, I don't understand. Every year I feel like wrapping presents, but I don't feel like wrapping presents. And I said, you know what? I don't feel like wrapping presents either. The difference was there was excitement in my voice. Like, that hasn't come either. I said, I just trust if I'm to do it, it will come. And when it comes, I will do it. Until then, I'll do what I feel to do now. You know what? Last night it came. Last night I wrapped presents. And you know what? I loved it. I'm learning not to force myself against my intuition because of what my mind says. I'm learning not to listen to the mind saying, you know, you should wrap those presents. I'm learning that if the presents are to be wrapped, the inspiration will come. The intuition will come. And then the presence will be wrapped in joy. I'm learning to stay with now. And that makes everything fun. Nothing is a chore. Lynn is asking, was there a time when you returned from India and shared about your India trip? I don't think I really did it as a recording. No, Lynn, I didn't. I spoke about my India trip during a social hour a little bit that followed one of the Awakening Together gatherings one morning, but it was very brief, and I didn't really talk about it in a lot of detail. Also, one of the Inner Ramana recordings, I think, maybe like about 2 weeks ago, has some talk about the India trip. In fact, that one was posted as an Awakening Together featured talk. So if you want to hear that one and a little bit about the India trip, you can go to awakening-together.org, and under inspiration on the menu bar, you'll find featured talks and find the Inner Ramana talk that was just recently posted. That will have a little bit about the India trip, but I haven't talked a lot about it. What I did was I posted some pictures in Facebook. I think they tell the story. So if you're a friend of mine in Facebook, you can go to Facebook, go to my photo albums, and find the one from the volunteer pilgrimage to India. Yeah, I didn't get lice. That was the one thing I did not get. I got a cold. I had bed bug bites, and possibly, although I've never had this diagnosed, something like a mild case of E. coli, because I couldn't eat for a couple of weeks without being ill. But yeah, no lice. I did not have lice. I came home without that. All right, so let's return to this message again. There is no answer when you asked who is the I that stands apart, because there is no I that stands apart. And when the voice that questions and doubts my teachings has been put to rest, you will find the call in your heart that asks you to simply and clearly listen to me. And that's what I was talking about. I learned when I got back from India to listen to that thought, just to sit. Because I am the voice of your heart, and your heart is the truth of what you are. Not only sit, but wrap presence only when the wrapping presence feeling comes, right? Buy gifts only when the buying gifts feeling comes. Do dishes only when the doing dishes feeling comes. Always staying with this feeling now and trusting it without listening to the head and what the head is telling me I should be doing. And this leads to a very joyous life, a very, very joyous life. The humility you feel when you listen to your heart is a true reflection of what you are. For there is no one above another, and no one who can decide what is best for his self. And the humility that I feel, the way I've been wording it, although maybe to some people it doesn't sound humble, but it actually feels quite humble, is that this is what God wants to do through me right now. That's the way the wording has been coming. God wants to do nothing right now. Oh, God wants to wrap presence right now. Oh, God wants to take the trash out right now. Oh, God wants to write this MPP course on Buddhism right now. And it is a very humble, humble, humble feeling. I can feel the energy of it moving through me. It wants to do this, and I will allow it to be done. I will not argue with it. I will not tell it something else should be done. I will allow this to be done. Right? The humility you feel when you listen to your heart is a true reflection of what you are, of what we are. For there is no one above another, and no one who can decide what is best for himself. You see, the mind is actually trying to say it's above God or intuition. When God or intuition is saying, let's do nothing, the mind is saying, I know better than that. We need to go do some stuff. Right? When we let go of that mind, that idea that I know better is gone. And that's the humility of I'm doing exactly what I am to do right now. Clarity comes when you listen to me. Again, me here represents intuition. Clarity comes when you listen to me without the questioning and doubting of mind. But in order to do this, the mind must be put to rest, because it is a natural function of the mind to question and to doubt and to want to decide for itself. So what this is saying is, don't expect the mind to change. Don't expect the mind to change. Just learn not to listen to the mind. Because as soon as, you know, if tomorrow I started listening to the mind again, then tomorrow when the feeling came over to me to do nothing, I would start feeling the stress of all I have to do, and I would get up and I would do that, and the stress would return. The wonderfulness I've been feeling of only doing what I feel to do would die. It would be gone. Because the mind isn't going to change. And as soon as I start listening to it, I'm going to step back into busy, 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 got to go, got to do this, got to get this done. I need to be smart enough to stay with the intuition and not listen to the mind. When you are listening to the mind and you want to decide for yourself, you put yourself above me, or you put the mind above intuition. When you are in the position of above, you are identifying with a false perception of self. By false, I mean untrue. And so in that moment, you are blind to yourself. You don't even realize. That's the funny thing. If I'm listening to the mind that says, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to hurry, you got to do this, I don't even know the wonderfulness of my desire to do nothing, since that happens to be my current guidance. If my guidance was to go from here to here to here to here, and that was my current guidance, that would be wonderful. So I don't mean to judge doing nothing over busyness, because there have been times when I have moved from one thing to another in the same absolute perfection, right? So this isn't about what we do or don't do. This is about whether we are listening to that intuition, that heart, that current moment feeling, or the mind who has another idea. And when we listen to the mind that has another idea, we will not know the beauty of ourself, the beauty of being in harmony with ourself, the beauty of following ourself in this moment. The only way we can know the beauty of being with myself is to be with myself. I can never know that through the mind. I can't think about that. I have to just surrender and follow that. Abide in me as I abide in you is a call to abide in the one self, where there is no one that stands and lords over another. But to know this one self, you must put the lording mind aside, because the mind that thinks it does know, and it can decide, does not know the one self that at all times knows there is no Lord. That's another thing. Sometimes when people think about surrender, they think they're surrendering to something other than themselves, and they think that other thing that they're surrendering to, whether you call it God or Holy Spirit or Jesus or Ramana or something else, they think that that other thing they're surrendering to is above them, and this causes a resistance to surrender. Those are all just ideas. When you surrender to the current moment feeling of what you are to do now, and you do that, the experience that comes is being in the flow with everything. The experience that comes is being in absolutely the right place, doing absolutely the perfect thing. It's being a part of a whole. There is no other that is Lord that is telling me what to do, me being less than it. That is not the experience of true surrender. The experience of true surrender is being perfectly aligned in perfect harmony with the whole and with myself, which is that whole. There is no one that lords over in that. Again, this talked about abide in me as I abide in you. Just a little FYI at this point. Up until this time, I had been doing the mantra of I am that I am. In fact, I had been doing the mantra of I am that I am since about, 10 months before Inner Ramana even started to come. The mantra came 10 months in advance of even the book coming. But at this point, my mantra changed. My mantra changed from I am that I am to abide in me as I abide in you, as a remembrance to move into this current moment surrender and to let go of that doubting mind. And this mantra stayed with me for many, many months. Abide in me as I abide in you. I have another mantra now that's been with me for, I don't know how long, many, many months. My current mantra is be still. Just simply be still. So the mantra can change at the appropriate time when something else is a little more helpful. But the mantra changes itself. We don't think about that and decide the mantra. The mantra finds a way of changing itself. And that is the end of that message. Ooh. That is the end of that message. So let me read the last paragraph one more time. Abide in me as I abide in you is a call to abide in the one self where there is no one that stands and lords over another. But to know this one self, you must put the lording mind aside, because the mind that thinks it does know and it can decide does not know the one self that at all times knows there is no Lord. So that's the end of that message. The next message is the message where there's a lot of back and forth between the student and the inner teacher. And it's not a very long message, so we can go ahead and do it too. It's called A Contract for Awakening. Let me take a sip of tea and we'll just do that message in the next 20 minutes. All right. So we're on page 83. And this is a conversation between, for lack of better words, me and the inner Ramana. It's really a conversation between my willingness and my teachingness. Inner Ramana asks, what do you think I am teaching you? And I answered, I understand that you want me to lay the individual thinking mind aside. Inner teacher, I want you to see that it is nothing and the heart is everything. So it seems like my teachingness, Inner Ramana, recognized that my student mind did not yet fully comprehend the teaching. And so this is an opportunity for clarity. I understood that I was to put the thinking mind aside and not listen to it. But what was missing in my understanding was that I was also to give it no value. You know, if I value that thinking mind, there's going to be a sense of sacrifice in putting it aside. There's going to be a non-completeness in that, and it won't last. It won't last. So Inner Ramana is clarifying, saying, I want you to see that it's nothing. Don't just put it aside, but realize it is nothing. If you see it as nothing, you'll naturally put it aside and you will have no interest in it. You know, I can put something aside that I still have value in. You know, like I can say, well, you know, let's say that you're trying to give up something that you love that you think you should give up, like coffee. Let's say you love coffee and you're trying to give up coffee. You say, okay, I'm going to put this coffee aside. I don't want it. And then yet there's this thought, oh my God, I want the coffee. Oh my God, I want the coffee. You see? It doesn't quite work. But if you realize the coffee is nothing, if you saw my Facebook page of the day, you know, one thing that happens is I get up and pour a cup of coffee in the morning, but then I tend to forget about it because I go into contemplation and it either sits next to me and gets cold most of the time. I'll have a couple sips and the rest of the cup sits next to me and gets cold. The other day I didn't even take it off the Keurig, which made me laugh. I didn't even pick up the cup and bring it in next to me because it really has no value, you know, no real value. The contemplation is where my value is. So when you see that it's nothing, well, then you put it aside and you actually forget about it. You're not thinking about it. You forget about it. because you have no interest in it. Like, I forgot about my cup of coffee, you know? So he's saying, I want you to see that it's nothing. So you're not still being drawn to that mind, like it has something interesting to say. It's nothing. Forget about it. Have no interest in it. I want you to see that it is nothing, and the heart is everything. The heart is who you are, and it is where all else springs forth from. When the heart is seen as the source, that which springs forth is like the heart. When it is believed that there is something else that can be a source, that which springs forth is like something else. So it's saying here that if you see that the mind is nothing, if you give it no value whatsoever, and you see the heart as everything, you will be a natural, you could call it follower of the heart, a natural representative of the heart. Oh, I know the word I like, a natural reflection of the heart. You will be the heart. It won't be a struggle to be the heart. It won't be something you have to keep trying to do. If you see that the mind is nothing and the heart is everything, the heart is everything, you will be the natural reflection of the heart. But if you think the mind has value, if you believe its judgments, if you believe its stories, there's going to be a struggle there, you know. You're going to keep being attracted back to the mind. The mind is nothing. The heart is everything. And Ramana continues, so we are here to get clarity on source, just as we are here to get clarity on self, because they are the same. Belief in a different self, or misidentification with the I thought, or we could call that misidentification with the thinking mind, is also confusion about the source. This is why it is said that ego is the cause of all suffering. Right? If you're confused about who you are, you're going to suffer because you're out of harmony with your true self. And you can't be out of harmony with yourself without suffering. When you think you're someone else and you act like that, but that isn't what you are, there's also a strain that happens there, and that strain is suffering. I asked, what will you teach me now? Show me that I may accept it. The answer, your identification with the mind is the obstacle to knowing the beauty of your true self. It is this identity that makes you blind. When you judge me and when you judge life by mind's standards, you throw a blanket over the truth and you choose not to see. Read this paragraph 6 times. So here we go again. Your identification with the mind is the obstacle to knowing the beauty of your true self. It is this identity that makes you blind. When you judge me, and when you judge life by mind standards, you throw a blanket over the truth and you choose not to see. Your identification with the mind is the obstacle to knowing the beauty of your true self. It is this identity that makes you blind. When you judge me and when you judge life by mind standards, you throw a blanket over the truth and you choose not to see. Your identification with the mind is the obstacle to knowing the beauty of your true self. It is this identity that makes you blind. When you judge me and when you judge life by the mind standards, you throw a blanket over the truth and you choose not to see. Your identification with the mind is the obstacle to knowing the beauty of your true self. It is this identity that makes you blind. When you judge me and when you judge life by mind standards, you throw a blanket over the truth and you choose not to see. Your identification with the mind is the obstacle to knowing the beauty of your true self. It is this identity that makes you blind. When you judge me, and when you judge life by mind's standards, you throw a blanket over the truth, and you choose not to see. Your identification with the mind is the obstacle to knowing the beauty of your true self. It is this identity that makes you blind. When you judge me, and when you judge life by mind's standards, you throw a blanket over the truth and choose not to see. After this in the conversation, I said, okay, I have read it 6 times. And the inner teacher continues, it is important that you accept responsibility for your own path. I will lead you most deliberately now, but you must choose to follow just as deliberately. Do you agree to follow me and to do as I ask? And I said, yes, I agree to follow you and do as you ask. The inner teacher said, this may seem to be putting yourself aside, but it is not, because the self that you call you is but an illusion of the mind. Therefore, you put nothing aside, right? No value. You put nothing aside. The one who chooses to listen to me and follow me is the awakening of your true self, or we would call this your willingness. So do not doubt your willingness to listen and follow me. That is you. And by listening to that desire, you listen to yourself with a capital S. Outside voices may seem to challenge your desire to follow me. So now it's saying that you're going to perceive this resistance, not only in your own head, but you're going to hear people outside saying things, you know, like you can't know the difference between your intuition and your thinking, or anything else that they might say that is actually an echo of the resistance. It's going to show up on the outside. Even your spiritual friends are going to say things that are going to sound discouraging, that are going to try and cut you off of following your intuition all of the time, right? Outside voices may seem to challenge your desire to follow me. Those outside voices will shout loudest in your own head. So someone may say to me, you can't know the difference between your ego and your intuition. You're going to mess up. But guess what? They say that sentence once. How many times do you think I hear that echoed in my mind? Maybe hundreds of times. So although people may show up outside of me, reflecting resistance. Resistance is always reflected loudest in my own mind, which means I have a choice about it, right? I can have a choice to say that mantra. Now, abide in me as I abide in you. Remember my desire to surrender and let that thought go. Outside voices may seem to challenge your desire to follow me. Those outside voices will shout loudest in your own head. But do not question my teachings. Do not ask why. Do not ask for explanations of how it works. Just trust your heart and follow me in devotion and love and desire to know yourself. So why are we being told not to ask why? Because as soon as we get back into trying to understand, now how is this surrender going to help work again? How is this mantra going to work it in? Because we're jumping right back into that thinking, judging mind. The idea is to stay out of the thinking, judging mind, right? So we can't question whether guidance will work, whether following intuition will work, whether, doing inquiry will work. You know, if this is what I've been guided to do, and clearly this book was given to me, so clearly this is what I was guided to do. to start questioning it would just to be jump right back into my thinking mind, which is not helpful. So again, do not ask for explanations of how it works. Just trust your heart and follow me in devotion and love and desire to know yourself. And then I said, all right, teacher, and what would you have me practice today? And the inner teacher said, practice all that I teach. Practice the mantra and surrender and questioning of the I thought. And do it all through devotion, right? Do it all with love. Not of a sense of I have to, but a sense of I really want to do this. But most importantly, right, he's given me four things to do. Practice the mantra, surrender, questioning the I thought, and devotion. He's given me four things to do. And then he says, but most importantly, know your own inner devotion to these practices. So of the four, knowing that I want to do it was most important. If I am practicing the mantra out of an imagined sense of coercion, or if I'm surrendering out of an imagined sense of coercion, or if I'm questioning the I thought, you know, because I think I have to, it does not have the same effect as when I do it because I know I want to. So he says, most importantly, know your devotion. Most importantly, know how much you want to do this. That is most important of all. Know your love and gratitude that such practices, and then he called them gifts. He changed the word practices to gifts. Know your love and gratitude that such practices, gifts, should have been given. Know how grateful you are that you even know about these practices, how much. Remember, this whole book came because I said a prayer asking for the next step. I asked for this. Be grateful that an answer came. And know that love I have for the practices, that devotion I feel for this purpose, that desire to know my true self is me. He's saying, I am not the thinking mind. I am that willingness. I am that love. I am that devotion. I am that true desire. That's who I am. And when I listen to the thinking mind, I am not listening to myself. Know your desire to practice these practices. Know your love and gratitude that such practices, gifts, should have been given, that they came. And know that that love, that devotion, that desire is you. And listen to yourself. Be that. So we made it through three messages tonight. Next week, we'll be ready for the next message in the book, which is pain and purification. All right. I'm turning the mic over to Lynn and David if he's here. Lynn, the mic is yours.